In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Today, we heard the gospel of the paralytic, and we are still in the Pascha season, in the 40 days after Pascha, the 50 days before Pentecost. And if you listen to this gospel closely, you kind of start to wondering why we having a gospel like this in the middle of Pascha. There's no mentioning of resurrection in this gospel. As the two other Sundays that are passed and St. Thomas Day, we obviously heard about Thomas and the resurrection. And on last Sunday of the Mirror Bearers, we heard about the resurrection, how it was pronounced to the Mirror Bearers and how they pronounced it to the apostles. But today there's nothing like that. Well, of course, nothing is happening without a reason in the church. And so to speak, we were on the top of the mountain when it came to Pascha, and now we are slowly descending down. But we are not descending down, just down. We are actually looking forward. We are looking forward to the next feast that is to come. There is a smaller feast coming, the mid-Pentecost, next week. Then there is a feast of the Ascension, of course, coming up. And then after that, the glorious feast of Pentecost is coming up. And all the gospel that we're hearing now and the following Sunday, starting with today, are all happening during the time when Christ was preaching during Pentecost, during the feast. Not necessarily in chronological order, and not necessarily even in the same year, but all that happened during the time of Pentecost. Hence, this what we are listening to. But there are also other points in the gospel that do actually point to Pascha, but we kind of forget about this. One very important part of Pascha, especially in the old church, and now actually in the time where we, glory to God, receiving quite a few people into the church, one of the traditional days to be received into the church was Pascha. This was the baptism day. If you wanted to be baptized, then this was the day that you were kind of aiming for. And if you listen to the Gospels in the last Sundays, and if you start listening today and the Gospels that are to come, you will realize that all these Gospels have somewhat of water in them. It is very obvious this Sunday. There's water involved. There's a whole pool involved. The pool of Bethesda, where there were a lot of people in the porches and patiently waiting that this pool be stirred up by the angel so that one who is the first one is the blessed one who will be relieved of his suffering. And there are many points in this gospel that I could point out, but I would like to focus on three points in this gospel. First of all, we have to look at the paralytic that was there. How long did he sit there, or probably laid on his couch that was there? The gospel is very specific about this, and remember everything what is in the gospel. When it is being mentioned, then it is important. And he was there on that pool for 38 years. And no one had compassion on him. Everyone was himself the first. And even when he tried, he was not successful because someone else was faster. But still, he went back onto this couch and waited a little bit longer. And he did so for 38 years. So if we comparing ourselves to the paralytic, We are the paralytic. We are the ones that have pains and suffering, and we are the sick person. We are that person. And we often have to wait patiently for relief, not only physically, I'm talking spiritually. Even if you're coming to church faithfully, even if you're coming praying at home as you should, even if you're living this full pious life, there still will and can be suffering in your life. And often we pray and we kind of expecting an immediate relief, something that is like a light switch that relieves us from the suffering immediately. And then we discover it is not that way. It's just not happening. And what we can learn from that is there is a God's plan. God allows this suffering for a reason. For the very obvious reason that we probably should acquire patience. That is a virtue, and we are often very short of that. But we also have to sometimes, like even as the Apostle Paul said, well, I can glorify God, but there is this one thorn in my flesh that is still there. So even he had something that still was bothering him. And if it's just there to remind us that we are sinful, often we approaching confession, for example, and staying at the confessional, and even shortly before we going there, and we falling into temptation. Well, you know, the last week it was really not that bad. I didn't do anything bad, not that I can remember. That's the wrong attitude, because the truth is, the reality is, that there is not one day in our life, probably not even 1 hour in our life, where we do not sin. These passions, these sufferings that we have, they should remind us of that we are in the end sinful. And we have to admit that. And we have to come to confession with this particular attitude that we are sinful. And even if we don't remember specifics, we should still come at least admit that we are sinful. So that is one point that we can learn from this gospel, to learn patience. The other thing that we can learn from this gospel is compassion, because everyone else around it did not have it. There was only one who had compassion on him, and that was Christ himself. Everyone else around this paralytic was, as I said, with himself the first. Oh, here's the opportunity, so let me go. You need help? I'm sorry. And how often do we do this? Sometimes not that bluntly, sometimes it is just an inconvenience and we kind of forget about it. So we'd have to remind us, if someone is in need, regardless when, we should have an open ear, an open hand, and be trying to help that person. And also, just as a reminder, do not stop helping just by having a requirements list of whom you want to help. The requirements list is often, and there's a big danger of that, and it said, first requirement, are you Orthodox? No, that's not the requirement. The first requirement is, do you need help? And if you need help, then go there and do what the Christian thing is to do, to help and to love that person, regardless who he is, where he comes from, what he needs. Of course, help in the names what is good for that person. So have compassion. That is the second part that we can learn from this gospel. And then the third part that we can learn from this gospel is what Christ said in the end of the gospel when the paralytic came back to the temple and he recognized who he was. What did Christ then say to him? Go ahead and sin no more. So first of all, this is an acknowledgement that our suffering is caused by our sinfulness. There's not necessarily a direct link, I do this, this is why this is happening to us, but in the end, we have always, since the fall, has a predisposition to sin. We have an inclination to sin. So suffering is an expression of the sinfulness. We are here on earth and we suffer. That's just how it is. But then there is this relief, and I told you that this is also an expression of baptism, and I told you about confession. And what is confession? At the end of the confession, I know Father John is doing it every time, and you're leaving the confessional, and he gives you the exhortation where it likens the confession, or the confession is likened as the second baptism. Confession is like baptism. It makes you squeaky clean again. It makes your soul squeaky clean. But the thing that you basically get on the way is also the exhortation not to do this again. So it's not only that we have to feel sorrow about our sins, we also have to have the inclination and the will not to do it again. Even if you have the suspicion sometimes, well, it might have happened again. We have these habitual sins. But still, even with them, we have to have the goal not to do it again. And that is also where it ties back to the patient. Sometimes that takes a long time to really not do it again. What I say to sometimes people that are dealing with various sins that they're doing all over and over and over again, and they're feeling like when they're coming to confession, it's like a broken record. Now, that broken record is okay, because we all do that. But when we are coming out of this confession, maybe the goal should be, okay, let's maybe wait this time an hour before we do this again. And the next time we're waiting 2 hours, and the next time we're waiting a day. So there's a progress, this is a path that we're going. This is not a light switch. So we have to have the will not to sin again. So take away this from this gospel today and continue in the rejoicing of the Pascha joy to have compassion, to not sin anymore, so that we actually really rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
Jesus.